Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And we're back on the Three Martini Lunch after a week's vacation. Jim Garrity back from the National Review cruise. I'm back from vacation. He is Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And we're back with good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. The good news, Democrats plan to run on Obamacare in 2014, despite all the implementation disasters, the president having to admit that the employer mandate's not ready. Certainly a majority of Americans who think this thing's going to be a train wreck, and certainly a majority who still would like to repeal it. Here is Jim Clyburn, member of the House Democratic leadership, telling Candy Crowley on CNN that, oh yeah, this thing's not only a great policy, but it's an electoral winner as well.
We will be running on Obamacare in 2014. In fact, we set it up to run on it in 2014. All that you're talking about now kicks in as of January 1, 2014. We will start doing the exchanges on October 1, 2013. We fully expect to run on it, and we expect to win on it.
Jim, I know conservatives are not in the habit of praising the Democratic strategy, but I'm guessing after hearing that, the response would probably be, okay, go for it.
You know, I suppose Jim Clyburn kind of has to say that. He can't say, yes, this is a disaster and we'll be running from it as much as humanly possible. So I guess the proof will be in the pudding if Democrats really do manage to, you know, decide, yes, we are going to run proudly on Obamacare. When we go before the voters in November 2014, we want them to know that we are the party of Obamacare and we are the ones responsible for this whole thing. However, there is kind of this recognition here that, like, look, I suppose that for a while, Obamacare has kind of coasted along on this perception amongst the low-information voters that it really was just free health care. Government was going to take care of this stuff. Government's going to pay for it. And as you see more and more people who had a health insurance that they kind of liked, or at least they could tolerate under the old system, having it disrupted, paying higher premiums, seeing doctors retire. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. Well, no. If you like your plan, you can keep it. No. We're now finding out that the results are actually completely different from what was promised. The other thing also worth noting is that Jim Clyburn is in the lone Democratic district in South Carolina. It's majority African-American. Obviously very friendly territory to both him and to President Obama. So we shouldn't be that surprised if Jim Clyburn, when he goes back home to his district, doesn't hear that many complaints about Obamacare. However, anybody who's in a purple district or slightly red district or even maybe the light blue districts in the House might be hearing very different things at their town hall meetings. And Obamacare is continually polled very badly, and we'll see. I think I'm ready to call the Democrats bluff on this one and say, all right, let's see how Obamacare is going. If it was really going gangbusters, they wouldn't have had to delay the employer mandate for a year, which I think is the biggest and most glaring indication there.
On to martini number two now, Jim. And tomorrow is primary day in New Jersey. It didn't have to be, but it is. And of course, this is because of the passing of Senator Lautenberg, Chris Christie. Instead of appointing a Republican to serve out the term through 2014, decided to hold a special election this year, not to coincide with his own reelection, but the primary day is tomorrow. The general election day is in mid-October. And by all polling accounts, Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark, is going to dominate the primary tomorrow. He's in the low 50s. Two current members of Congress, Frank Pallone and Rush Holt, are both below 20%. There's also a woman who's one of the leaders of the New Jersey legislature. She's in single digits, so he's clearly going to be the nominee and almost certainly the next senator, despite stories that don't get a lot of attention. Number one, he blew off a debate because obviously he has a huge lead and decided to go to a fundraiser hosted by Oprah. And secondly, he's now trying to dodge questions, apparently not from most of the media, but at least the New York Post, that even though he officially stepped down from his law firm when he got elected mayor of Newark, he still keeps getting checks worth thousands of dollars year after year, and he's trying to explain that as not being that big of a deal. So in any other situation, Jim, I think this would get a little bit more scrutiny, but the media has apparently decided he's a rock star, and therefore there's no story here.
Yeah, and that's never happened before, right, Greg? Young, dashing, handsome African-American lawmaker from the inner city, talks like a reformer, maybe not a ton of results, but he sounds so good on the stump, you know. Never seen anything like this before. Yeah, no, it's very frustrating because, look, I'm really glad that Cory Booker ran into the burning building and saved the neighbor and the kittens and the orphans and all these stories. He shovels the snow and he tweets pictures of himself shoveling the snow for his neighbor. Like, there's some nice things about it, but the first thing is, if you look at Newark, it's not in tremendously different shape than when he started on the job. His mayorship has been very good for Cory Booker. It's less clear that it's been good for Newark. And the second thing that comes out of this is that he's had now not just one, but two fairly major financial factors in his life that he, oh, just happened to forget to mention on his financial disclosure forms, one being this dot-com gig that was a startup that apparently involved all the Silicon Valley high mucky mucks and, you know, made enormous amounts of money, which, oh, by the way, it's laying people off and no sign he'll ever make money. So the question of whether this was really a serious business effort or whether it was really just kind of a networking thing out in Silicon Valley, that question is hanging over him. And then there's his law firm, which he departed, and I guess he was getting payments for his share of the firm, but he just chose not to disclose that on his forms. And you know, financial disclosure forms, these things aren't optional, okay? This isn't like, tell us about the financial transactions you want. His lawyer says, well, technically he's not being paid for any services, so he didn't have to disclose it. And I believe the legal term for that is horsepucky. So you've got this guy who's getting money and he's not disclosing when he's supposed to. And traditionally, this is, you know, in a normal system, there'd be some sort of consequences for him not disclosing things that he's not. Because look, his law firm has business before the city. So he's getting paid by somebody who's got business before the city while he's mayor and not telling the public about it. And in normal circumstances, it'd be a big scandal. But hey, he uses Twitter, Greg. Isn't that awesome? Nobody uses Twitter. You know, and he'll probably end up like saving a crashing plane or, you know, doing some other visually dramatic, fantastic thing that everyone will talk about. No one will pay attention. He will skate into the Senate. I'd like to see Steve Lonergan chip some of the bark off him, so to speak. But my guess is that this is going to be a rout in the general election, and kind of frustrating that Rush Holt really couldn't even really dent the shining public image of Booker. And you know, most New Jerseyans are probably completely oblivious to the fact that there is a primary going on right now. Going to the Jersey Shore season, it's probably not a great time to to run a Senate campaign.
Yeah, exactly. There's not a lot of, it seems, attention in any of the races going on right now, even in our state of Virginia for the governor's race. But we'll see exactly what the margins are for Cory Booker tomorrow. And as you suggested, we'll likely see a rout tomorrow and in October and in November when Chris Christie runs, unless something changes dramatically in one of these races. On to Martini number three now, Jim. And there's been a lot of complaints about the extravagance of the Obama trips. Sometimes it's the summer vacation. Sometimes it's Michelle and a bunch of her friends going to Spain. Michelle and the girls going to Vail after they'd spent a week in the Bahamas. And after a while, they all seem to kind of run together. And some people say, even if this is really extravagant, we really don't know how much previous presidents have spent on this sort of thing. So cut them a break. There's plenty of things to criticize them about, which we probably would, except for this. This is from the London Daily Telegraph. Bo, the president's Portuguese water dog, arrived separately at Martha's Vineyard on one of two MV-22 Ospreys, a hybrid aircraft which takes off like a helicopter but flies like a plane. There's a picture of Bo arriving with at least six people and a bunch of luggage here, including what looks like a couple of mesh bags worth of basketballs, since the president has a basketball court on this estate that he's staying at for the week. So, Jim, I think most people are willing to let a vacation slide. I'm not sure separate public transportation for the dog is something people are going to be okay with.
As I wrote in the Morning Jolt, you look at this, oh my goodness, and of course, you know, it takes about, you know, $10,000 per hour to fly an Osprey anywhere. It seems this Osprey was taken from D.C. to Martha's Vineyard. Am I correct in getting that's the course it was taken?
It does not specifically say that, but I assume that's the case.
Yeah. So we're talking like a two-hour flight, three-hour flight, and so that's like $30,000 just to take Bo. Hopefully they took those like 20 basketballs or so that are in the picture. Greg, when you play basketball, how many balls do you need?
Usually one.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, maybe two if you end up one getting, you know, starts losing air or something.
Right.
At the gym in my community, they have like three or four ones for the public to use. Who needs 20 basketballs? What is he, running a clinic out there, running a camp? So there's that. And then, of course, there's Bo's separate transportation. It turns out there's a luxury service that if you really love your pet, I'm perfectly good with putting the dog crate on top of the car. But I'm a Romney voter, so, you know. There's actually, to goodness, a luxury private jet company that caters to pets. So your pet can fly from one place to another with, you know, getting, I'm sure, like Perrier dog water in the dog dish and, you know, Kobe beef in the dog food that they serve and all that stuff. But that probably would be cheaper than flying the Osprey from D.C. to Martha's Vineyard. So when you bring up these things, you know, a lot of folks on the left kind of roll their eyes. Oh, they're, you know, as if he's the only president who's ever taken a vacation. No, it's not. However, it is the extravagance of all these things at a time when continuing economic hard time. You know, look, if unemployment was like, you know, 6% and, you know, everybody was feeling great, this would look like a petty, silly complaint. However, in year five of hard times, I guess if you have money in the stock market, you're doing fine. Unfortunately, you're talking about, you know, a distinct minority of Americans benefiting from the stock market boom. here's the president, you know, yes, he's got to have lots of security. Yes, the Secret Service. Like, I mean, you see these things. You're left shaking your head. And is there nobody around who says, you know, can we find a dog sitter for the week? Like, really? Is Bo going to be like in a you know, clinical depression if he doesn't see the president and the family for a couple of days? So I never traveled with my pets growing up. I don't understand why the president requires a separate airlift of his dog. And it just kind of seems like another sign of a ludicrously out of touch Marie Antoinette presidency, you know, off to a great start on Obama's vacation week.
Exactly. Here's my two thoughts on this. First of all, did Bo have a packed schedule somehow that he couldn't make the original flight? I don't know what his schedule looks like on a daily basis.
He had a connecting flight in Cleveland that just didn't, you know.
And secondly, is he going back by himself? Because that'd be another 20 or 30 grand. That's a question, I guess, that has yet to be answered. But Jim, it's good to be back. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and please join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.